Anybody hungry? Yeah? Here you go. This is edible, right, Sandy?
Is it plastic?
You wouldn't eat it.
It's been there a while.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know then. Maybe it's like the manna that was hoarded away then. They were grumbling, they were mumbling, those Israelites. Even though what God had done for them, all that God had done for them. The signs, 10 signs, miraculous events come from heaven. Pharaoh finally relented, let them go. And then finally, maybe the greatest miracle of all, the Red Sea parting, letting them through. They're free, finally free, the unthinkable, released from captivity. There was dancing, singing, music that day that Miriam led. And yet, here they are, a month later, grumbling, complaining to Moses, why are we here? Why have you drug us out here into the wilderness just to die? God did all of that, and here we are, starving, we're thirsty, we're hungry. Did they not trust that God would see them through this wilderness experience somehow? Similarly, in John chapter 6, the context of this teaching by Jesus is right after Jesus feeds 5,000 people, probably much more, as biblical scholars tell us that 5,000 was probably just the male people that were there. Thousands and thousands of people were fed. And then overnight, what happens? Jesus walks on water. What more signs do you need? And yet, here are people questioning him. It says, complaining, the very same word that's used in Exodus, complaining to Jesus. What now? What now? Show us more signs. Moses did something amazing in the wilderness. What are you going to do? It wasn't enough for people. Amazingly. We don't do that now, do we? We don't complain, we don't bellyache, we don't mumble and grumble about things. Right? After all, we've seen the gifts of God, we've seen signs from God, we've had blessings from God. Our lives have been blessings to God. Our lives are a testimony to the blessings of God. This church is a testimony to the blessings of God. This year has been a testimony to the blessings of God. We have a brand new beautiful shed out there, a brand new beautiful kitchen, a brand new organ. We've sent people to meetings, to camps, to synod, delegates. We've had new members, new attendees. And what do we talk about? Well, we bemoan our budget shortfall. We've been blessed. We've been blessed. Do we not trust that God will see us through whatever our wilderness experience might be? It's easy for us to place ourselves in the Israelites' shoes. We all can relate to this. Right? Grass is always greener on the other side. Woe is me. We, in a way, have a sense of betrayal. Modern day Christians here in 2017, in the 21st century, we have a little bit of a sense of betrayal. Things aren't the way they used to be. when we were dining on the flesh pots in Egypt and we had everything that we had enough food, we had a place to stay, we had enough to drink at least. Here, we don't. Has God abandoned us? Has God led us this far here into 2017 and abandoned us and let us go off on our own to try and figure out the way? No. No, God will see us through. It's easy to feel like we've run out of gas, like we don't have enough resources to do what we did and have done in the past. It's easy to feel like we hit a wall, so to speak, in the church. In reaction to this, many churches, not just our church, almost all churches in general, have sort of a nostalgic glow about the 50s, a generation or two ago when there were people filling the balconies here. And our Sunday school program had all of its rooms filled. Where's our faith? Where's our faith in the future? The truth is that we are being called into that future together, step by step. It's uncharted territory that we're in. We don't know what to expect, and that makes us nervous, that makes us anxious. We are planners. We like to know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 5 years, 10 years from now. And we don't know. We don't know as the church what the future will bring. Manna literally stands for, the literal translation of manna is, what is this? What is this flaky stuff from heaven that's rained down on the plants? What is this stuff? We don't understand manna. We don't understand not being able to kind of hoard it up, store it away. We don't understand that we don't have to do everything by ourselves, that we will be provided for. We don't understand about a future where we have to trust somebody else, let alone God. We don't understand about a future where we might have to give up a little bit of control of our lives and our path. We don't understand about a future that requires us to let go of some of our plans and allow for God's plans. We don't understand what it's like to really be free. The Israelites are finally free, and yet they are grumbling. Free. Freedom, total freedom, free choice might make us nervous. The truth is, we need God now more than ever. We need God now more than ever. We need the sustenance that God provides now more than we ever have. This country needs the grace of God, maybe now more than ever. Uncertain future. Violence, natural disasters, international conflict. What's going to happen? We need prayer now more than ever. We need prayers for the hearts of humanity to win them to God. We don't understand manna. We don't understand that we don't have to hoard it to make it through life. We don't understand that there is enough for all, that God will provide for all. Going back to a movie called The Matrix. And it's when Neo is awoken from his reality into what is real, what is really real. And he's on the ship called, spaceship called the Nebuchadnezzar. And they are eating. And they are spooning slop, what looks to be slop, just like an ice cream container into a bowl. And somebody says, this is everything that your body needs, all the nutrients. And somebody else says, no, no, this is not. This is not everything that we need. It's not. We might get bored of what God provides for us. We might want some ice cream. We might want some milk and honey. But we will not go hungry. We will not go hungry. Wouldn't it be nice if everyone's needs were met? The entire world's needs were met. Those that were hungry were fed, provided for. The Israelites were in a bad way. There's some bad areas in nowadays. Places of famine. Yemen, Syria, Puerto Rico even. But there are places that have enough. We have enough. We have enough to eat, to meet our basic needs. Yet, many times we act like we don't. So we try to hoard it. And when we try to hoard it, when we try to take it all in for ourselves, we make these gifts of God a little bit poisonous. Greed is poison. It's poison. It infects us. We have the myth in this society that we don't have enough, that we can't fix things. We can't make things better for the common good. Let's just take one thing for example, hunger. Hunger, we're talking about bread. We're talking about being fed today. Hunger, it's possible to end hunger in the world. What are the big things that we think that there's no possible solution for? Peace, world peace, right? If a genie came down and said, what do you wish for? Well, world peace would be one because it would take something powerful to grant our wish. World peace, world hunger, right? We can actually fix world hunger. Bread for the World, an organization, says that we can end world hunger by 2040. And they've started a campaign to do so. We have the ability through God, through the blessings of God, to help the world, to do much more than we think we can. We're called to believe in that. We're called to believe in the abundance of God, in the power of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we ought to. It's the best hope for the world. In seminary, there was a book entitled God, the Best Hope for the World. It's a rather dry theology book, but I love the title. God is the best hope for the world. There's a Jewish term called Dayanu, D-A-Y-E-N-U, Dayanu, which means there is enough to God's goodness. There is enough to God's goodness. There is enough to cure your heart. There is enough forgiveness for you. There is enough grace to include you. There is enough compassion to heal you. There is enough of God's goodness to provide for the needs of the community. There's enough funds. There's enough help. There's enough care for the sick. There's enough food for the hungry. There's enough compassion for those who are distraught. It's within Christ. It is through Christ. When he says in the Gospels that I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. It is through God's Son that we are sustained in the journey. It is through us in turn. When Jesus commissions us and breathes on us at the end of the Gospel of John and said, now go, you baptize people in my name. He sends us in his name. It is through Christ we're called to embody God's provision to the world. We can be the manna for the world. Amen.